You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings Wrestling Podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
We're going to start out by talking about our favorite feud in the world of wrestling.
The feud that can do no wrong.
We're going to jump right into something that I think we're all going to feel really good talking about. But actually, we will. So it's not, you guys don't understand the context of why I'm saying it like that, and you won't. And that's all I have to say about that. Best friends, OC and Rocky Romero, fought the Young Bucks, Adam Cole, and Bobby Fish on Rampage. It was a full-on comedy spot fest situation. Mm-hmm. The most fun that I've ever had in my life. Let's talk about it.
Orange Cassidy's little face was so animated.
It was, I know.
Good times.
Tony Khan, who we have always loved and who always loves us, really treated us very nicely. And
for Christmas.
To him, I say. His little Christmas gift to us. This was everything. It was perfect. I was the happiest person.
I know. Like, it's one of those ones where I'd usually be like, there's too many men, but it was just the right amount of men. They were so entertaining.
When you love every man, it turns out that there's no such thing as too many men.
Mm-hmm. You're just like, oh, another favorite has joined us.
Like, when your eyes are happy everywhere they land.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nirvana. It was just beaming at all the men.
Just fantastic. So many different men to have different little interactions between each other.
Yeah.
They did some kissing. Orange Cassidy and Adam Cole are really amping up their little feud, and they've added kissing to the mix, and can't go wrong.
Adam Cole does the most amazing job at being outraged by, like, the littlest things, and the fact that he loves his sweet kisses from the Buck and is so angry when OC kisses him. Like, it's happened twice now, and each time he's just like, you could see him hulk out. He's so pissed.
Right. It's like, that's not for you. Don't you think it's very funny that, like, Adam Cole, it's like, obviously it's their threesome spot with the kissing, but the Adam Cole owns the kiss factor, because the Young Bucks have never tried to do that kiss to Kenny, have they?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, not on AEW. Like, you know, we don't know it's everything,
possible,
but
anything could have anything could have happened.
No, I feel like I'd remember it.
Yeah,
I feel like I would too.
But it's like that's Adam Cole's thing. But other people can do it to Adam Cole who aren't the Bucks as a comedy bit, but that they've never, you know what I mean?
But Adam Cole gets so mad, like when John Silver and Alex Reynolds do it to him, he's so furious, you know, when OC does it to him, he's furious. It's like, that's his special,
that's his
thing that they're desecrating, you know?
Yeah, his special kiss from his boyfriends, but your boyfriends are mad at you now. We'll get into that. So, you know,
yeah.
I don't know about that. But this match had so much fun stuff in it. It was that Nick Jackson and OC doing that rope spot where Nick was up on the ropes and then OC did it.
And
I was
OC
obsessed
did his
with
little
it.
Rope swagger.
Well, and
grin.
Nick kept wagging his finger.
Yeah. Nick did a really good job of, like, he was clearly providing support for OC as he was walking, but didn't make it look like that. He looked like he was being tugged along.
Yeah.
Even though, like, it's obvious he was helping, but, like, it was really well done. Nick was like, how dare you get down from there? like OC was like a misbehaving cat. It
was
perfect.
Oh yeah, real little cat dad energy. That's not safe for you. You're just a little cat.
He's gonna get the spray bottle full of water any second now if you don't get down from there.
Do you guys want to talk about Nick Jackson's hair right now?
It's fully insane. Like, the beard is working for him. The dyed hair is not.
I think maybe it is. It's like I am just
Stockholmed.
I just have worms, obviously. But it's like the beard is so good. And then when he has his headband on and he's flat ironed his hair and it's that horrible color, I just think, like, wow, that's actually fashion. Like, avant-garde. Work it, baby. Like,
I'm so shocked to hear you both into the beard, because it got it got incredibly ruined for me by someone. Someone was like,
"Ruined it."
Nick Jackson looks so much like a schnauzer, and now I can't stop seeing it.
Why would you say that?
A beautiful schnauzer.
Yeah, a handsome schnauzer. Oh, what a handsome boy.
I could do with it being a little tidier.
I think it could be a little shorter, but just in general, the fact that he's covered up his face.
I will say it's better than clean-shaven. Clean-shaven Nick Jackson he's weak-chinned.
I'd be real curious to see him with the full beard and also the half bun or the half up, half down that Matt does. Like, he couldn't do it as well, but I feel like it might.
Yeah, I want to see it. Or, like, I don't know, go crazy, Matt. Like, maybe Nick, Matt, don't go. Matt, stay just crazy the way you are, the exact perfect crazy that you are. Nick, he could get into doing, like, braids or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just
some
little
braids, like a little crown of braids.
Yeah.
On his,
oh, my God.
On his head.
Nick Jackson in a braid crown? I'm listening.
Yeah. I'd like to see it.
Wow. I wonder if they have, a hair person backstage. Like, they have a makeup person. They have costumes.
Yeah, they have. I think it's hair and makeup. Yeah.
So someone could braid his hair for him.
Someone could do some elaborate braids.
Or Matt could braid his hair for him. He
I'm
has
sure
a daughter.
Matt could braid
his I hope he's learned.
Yeah. I mean, what else is Brandon Cutler for if not braiding hair for him?
Surely they taught Brandon to braid
hair. Surely bald
years
Brandon
ago.
Will know what to do with their hair.
Brandon's own needs have no relevance to this conversation.
Brandon, well, when you're a young boy, that's life as a young boy. And if you want to have a job for life.
AFL.
Don't you want to have a job for life? Well, that's good, because that transitions us into talking about BTE this week, where Matt Jackson opened up about his seasonal affective disorder and, as I said, performed self-care by having a spray tan party with his friends.
I thought that I had taken some sort of drug by accident. I was like, am I hallucinating? When Bobby Fish started spraying the spray tan into his mouth, I was like, what is happening?
When Bobby Fish ran in, he was mad at them, and it looked like he disapproved of their little spray tan orgy, but then no, he just was mad he was left out. It's just like, these men love to have fun.
That kind of like is what wrestling is, right? Where it's just like, are you guys being gay in here? Well, don't do it without me. I loved it. It was just the best. Adds a certain little emotional element to what we'll go on to discuss happening this week, because they were having so much fun with Adam Cole, who was spray tanning with the best of them and doing like his Adam Cole baby while he was spray tanning, and they just were having such a good time together. Then this week on Dynamite, Adam Cole and OC had their singles match. This was a very fun match, had a great time. I can't believe you guys can't see like the face that Leah's giving me. Like, it's like her little like lid is about to blow off. It's like, I can't, Leah, I actually can't focus on reporting the facts of the match because you're so excited to talk about what you want to talk about. So why don't I'm going to hand this one over to you and you kind of take us there.
There was a point last night where Sarah turned to me and goes, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, why? And she's like, because you've been silently heavy breathing for 20 minutes.
Silently heavy breathing.
Like, you're the hugest wrestling perv. Just perving out privately.
I was like incapable of answering her when she was talking to me. I was like, I'm so sorry. I can only handle one thing right now and I can only think about this. This being, so Adam Cole and OC had their match. They came out alone and we were all like, what's going on here?
Where are their friends?
Yes. And then there was a little bit of a decoy because the Bucks came out, first of all. Matt was wearing a Macy's scarlet.
We're kind
sweater.
Of like a Young Bucks fashion reportage pod more than anything.
I do kind of feel like when I was writing the schedule, I was like, I kind of think that it's like, you know how sometimes people will be like messaging Sean Ross Sapp on Twitter and being like, you're paid by WWE, like that all the reporters get that. I was like, why aren't we getting paid by the Young Bucks? Like, they should be paying
us. Them up every goddamn week here.
You won't shut the fuck up about that. Go on, Leah, explain. I mean, it was a beautiful outfit.
Beautiful. Mm. White pants, white. A nice silver buckle, the candy cane striped sneakers. He looked fantastic. Half up, half down hair. Oh.
I can't believe you noticed the sneakers. I know that they want us to, but I was so... The kind of midsection of the outfit where the sweater goes into the pants was where my eye was pretty much drawn.
That's the most perverted way you could have said that, I think.
I think it's fine. I think I've been fine this whole time.
I'm just kind of focused on the...
on the trunk.
Just the tight center of the trunk, actually.
Ignoring the top and the bottom. Going the right for
the midsection. Well, I was focused on the top section, too, because his hair was so beautiful.
It looked amazing. Anyway, so it was a little bit of a decoy because they came out and they were like going to do some threatening stuff. And then Best Friends came out and beat them up. And then everybody went away. And I was like, I guess that was our Christmas box. Like, I guess.
Oh, no. Leah has to pretend to be strong. She hates her present. She goes, well, thank you for my Christmas box, Tori.
I guess this is all I get this year, but thank you. But no, Tony Khan had a bicycle hidden in the garage.
I know there wasn't a lot of money for presents this year, so I guess this is it, and I loved it. Thank you, Tony.
But then Tony said... It was all a rib.
We should have written "Twas the Night Before Christmas," Filk for that.
Filk, oh my god!
He sprang from his bed to see what was the matter. They leapt from the ring to see what was the matter. I'll work on this one later. No, go on. It was all a rib. What happened, Leah?
So OC looked like he was going to actually win. When all of a sudden, a new man appeared.
Arose such a clatter.
As though from nowhere. I did not see him climb into the ring.
I did not see.
Yeah. I mean, on the crowd, the crowd started like searching, like behind, they were like looking back and forth and back and forth, and then they saw something. So I knew something was happening. But then all of a sudden, the strangest looking man appeared. I think
he's a freak.
Agree.
Weird.
This man
looking.
Is the an biggest absolute freak. And it was honestly like all mannerisms. He came in there with like his head at a weird angle. He looked like a monster possessing a human body, or like Igor, like a hunchback. Like he
and
was
his
just
like beard
around.
Be crazy and like face be weird. And so it's like, I think I said it's like he has like real like man on Tinder holding a fish energy. By which I guess I really just mean like I'm swiping left on that guy for sure.
Like really, really quickly.
Fast, like nervous, like he could get out of the screen.
His name's Kyle O'Reilly, which I hate. It's like Rilo Kiley, Kylo Ren. What's happening here?
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah. Well, okay. So that man showed up,
right? And so then he and Adam Cole had a weird moment where they were looking at each other, and it didn't entirely look positive because I believe that they didn't end in WWE on the best note. We are not WWE girls, so we can't really speak to this, but I think
I think there was an undisputed like
breakup,
split,
right?
Breakup. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, what's going to happen here? And like, are they like, there was a moment where it's like, are they going to do a handshake? Like what's happening? And then they just turned around and beat the shit out of OC. Mm-hmm. And so then Adam Cole got the pin and then my Young Bucks came back.
I just want to report, we have been talking about this for 15 minutes. I'm not stopping us. I'm saying let's keep going. It's kind of more just a warning to the listeners. Like, yeah, I know what's happening, but what choice do we have?
Maybe we should just put a little timestamp. Like, don't worry, they'll be done with the Young Bucks at, you know, 30 minutes in. And you can just
at the same
ahead.
Time, though, we'll be done at the Young Bucks on the 99th of never. It's we're never going to be done. So, so Leah's Young Bucks.
Stay
Leah's
here.
Young Bucks.
Matt has the craziest energy I've ever experienced in my life. He came out with, like, the I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed face.
He had a really good energy. Great energy from Matt Jackson.
Mm-hmm. And then Adam Cole walked out on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very
they walked
shocking.
Out.
Yeah.
With and the his commentary was like, friends.
We think the Young Bucks want Adam Cole to explain himself. And then Adam Cole just like looked at them like, what do you want me to say? And like walked out of the ring.
Unreal.
It's crazy. Especially, again, after that spray tan party. And then on Twitter, the Young Bucks changed their little bio, mm-hmm. and they say, what did they say?
Ain't no side chick.
Ain't no side chick. They post a picture of themselves with Brandon in their Christmas getups, mm-hmm. and Adam Cole responds to it and says, like, looking great, fellas. Like, can't wait to connect soon.
Connect soon. That's, like, so dark, yeah.
This Adam! Came
out of nowhere. I was not expecting this at all. And he had told them he had, like, a special Christmas surprise for them. And then
I know.
He brought them like a demon in human form that they don't want.
I won't. I got you this demon. I got you this demon in human form. I won't be surprised. I won't be surprised either way. Like anything could happen. But I won't be surprised if eventually it turns out that they are, that he is pranking the Undisputed, not pranking, like whatever, with the Young Bucks, and they've been performing a little play for us. That wouldn't shock me eventually, but I don't know.
That's I mean crazy. I'm ready for whatever ride they want to take me on. I'm like, please, for
I'm sure. already on it.
This is not the like place, this is not the tension I was expecting the where the riffs to go, you know what I mean? Like, I did not think Adam Cole's WWE boyfriends would both show up and he would reunite.
I didn't
them.
Think they could possibly win the day. We yeah. see their energy every week. They're
yeah,
you know, I feel
that's his boyfriends. They're yeah, like who came in between this weird Kyle O'Reilly?
I know. Well, that's the craziest thing is that you look at Matt Jackson and then you look at Kyle. Oh, now I can't stop saying Kylo Ren, which is fucked up.
Just say Rilo Kiley. It's
you look at the two of them and you're telling me that Adam Cole picked that guy? He picked Kyle O'Reilly?
It's
I thought that, well, now you've confused me because you said it right and I was like, that's not right. I think it's because you're saying it like Kylo.
Well, everyone like is though, like the commentary was, and
they were saying
Kyle O'Reilly, yeah.
Kyle, oh yeah, no, but I thought you meant they were saying just
she's right.
Kylo.
No, they weren't saying
she's
just
right.
Kylo, but I mean the whole
she's
thing
right.
when it
I'm,
said though.
When I'm saying it, I am saying Kylo Riley.
Riley, yeah. But so I didn't. Well, you know what? We can't. We have to move on. But I am loving this.
I'm so happy.
And they did do a great. The vibes in the ring were so good. I cannot not talk about it. The fact that it's like Matt Jackson is like mad and he's just like being like, I can't believe this is happening. And Nick Jackson just keeps looking at him like, I'm just making sure again that we are mad about this. I'm just going to double check. But I see that we are. And that's what I'm going to go with. I do not think that we like this. It's just his perfect energy.
It's crazy. It's going to be so interesting to see what the promos end up being like, because I can't really imagine Kyle O'Reilly talking at this point. Like, he doesn't look like he's capable of it, so it'll be interesting to see.
He's like a messed up, like it's like an unfinished Gollum situation.
Yep, exactly.
Gollum.
Yep.
Let's talk about, let's move on from that. As everyone said there, Phil.
Well, I'll just say again, I'm mad that they didn't give me any WWE backstory on Kyle O'Reilly, because I was like, who the hell is this? Why am I supposed to care? Like, and I had to do Googling and it
that's true.
I'm not mad yet because I would let them, usually I feel like I'll let them get away with doing it in the next few episodes. Like, by the next time I see that man wrestle, I should have seen something happen backstage, yeah. in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I'm not mad if it doesn't happen like right then and there. So yeah. they
There should be something on Rampage tomorrow. If not, Rampage. Well, it's Christmas. And then if not, then Wednesday. And then if it's not on Wednesday, that's when our young folks will get a demerit.
And yeah, oh my God. Wow. And then we send them to detention. Okay, well, now let's talk about Nyla and Ruby. This match was on Dynamite. This mm-hmm. was, they're in the semifinals mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. the women's TBS Very Funny Tournament. Who did you think was going to win this match?
Oh, I definitely thought it was Ruby because I think that Ruby and Jade are going to be the final.
Yeah. I also thought it was going to be Ruby.
I thought I didn't know, but then when Ruby won, I was surprised. So I was like, oh, I guess I thought it was Nyla. So who knew? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not informed as an opinion. Obviously, it was incorrect. I'm really happy. Like, I want Ruby to win really badly. So, like, yeah, I hope she does.
Yeah. I really don't know what to expect at this stage, honestly. I feel like Leah's looking at me like she's like, I have a...
Oh, no.
Oh no. No. Okay.
No, I mean, I think it's going to, I listen, it's this, it's one of those things where it's like, they've been pushing Jade for so long that it makes complete sense to me that they would give it to her. But at the same time, if they want the first TBS championship belt to be with somebody who can defend it and defend it in interesting ways, then they have to give it to Ruby. And so it's like, which practicality are they going to go for?
Yeah.
I mean, I desperately hope the second because
seriously.
I think they really need it to be someone who can like when you get a shot against them, it's like, and this is going to be a learning experience for you. Like this is going to be like good for your development as a wrestler, not just, you know,
plus who actually has like a personality that like people get excited about and that can like carry a lot of promos and stuff. Not that Jay's promos aren't scintillating, but
yeah. She just needs more experience, you know? Yeah. Like I think it's just one of those things where like I don't want to write her off forever because she is beautiful. She's like she's obviously incredibly
strong.
Yeah, right. Like so it's like I don't want her to quit wrestling or anything. I just need her to like go spend 2 years on the indies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously. Or like, I mean, or it's like not dissimilar to like many of the little young like lads running around where it's like when we're just like, oh, and then you get on the mic and you can't talk, you little baby. Yeah. And like sometimes, and then you see them having their little talking spots where it's like, oh, I love that you got your practice session this week. Yeah. And like, I'm glad to see we're working on that behind the scenes. It's just like the same thing here. But the
yeah, and she to be fair, she is better than, you know, a Jungle Boy on the mic right now. So
I did just picture Jade picking up like a touching somebody on their shoulder tick.
If she picked that up with Mark Sterling, it would be like the tick is like wringing his neck. It's like she doesn't notice she's doing it. She's giving a great promo and she's actively strangling him. And he's just like, she's that bitch. Well, I thought this was a very fun match. I had a really good time with it, actually, and
it was good.
Know.
I felt bad for Ruby that she got stuck in her jacket for like so long at the start.
I didn't even notice. I must have zoned out during that.
Yeah,
that
was sick. Nyla pulled it over her head like a wrestling thing to like punch her, but then it like she got stuck. Her arm was stuck in it for like 5 full minutes. It seemed like.
I only saw it because Ruby was retweeting. I mean, Nyla was retweeting people talking about it, and one of them was like, "That jacket wanted to become the TBS champion," and Nyla retweeted it and was like, "Shut up!"
That's really funny. Yeah, it was on like WrestleBotch and stuff, but fun times.
Yeah, I don't have like a lot to say, and I don't think we should like stay on it, but like, it's really fucked up that person ended up. It on camera with a transphobic sign again, like terrible. I feel
and it was
so bad.
The second one in the last month, at least, because there was that sign, some shitty sign that someone put up during an Acclaimed match. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't think that there's, it's like, it's hard because I think some of them bring like they're just really bad people and they bring like blank poster board or like a whiteboard or whatever. So it's not like there's a point before the match where you can like flag the sign and get rid of it or something. It's just crazy to think about people being so like shitty.
Yeah. So awful.
It sounded like they escorted them out at least, but like, ugh. So at least they're doing that, but it still sucks.
Yeah. That's gross. Well, love you, Nyla.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Genuinely.
Genuinely, yes. Yeah. No, well, I'm always genuine when I say it sometimes, but this time you're right. Okay. Well, you know what? She was right to clarify. Genuinely. Bryan Danielson and Hangman are going to fight again on January 5th. And Bryan Danielson is going to, are there going to be judges? Am I making this up? I don't understand that was, at all.
Yeah, there's going to be multiple judges, but I don't really understand what they're judging. Like, there's going to be no time limit.
I don't know. Like, if it's like, if they like look cute,
like, it would kind of introduce a whole new, like, I feel like I saw it like around the Olympics, someone was joking around and they were being like, pro wrestling should be an Olympic sport and there should be like judges that give them points for like their artistic abilities, you know, and their gymnastics and stuff. And I was like,
and their theater,
love that actually. Yeah. So I hope the judges do that. They're just like, you know, 9.9 for artistic.
Yeah.
I would love it if I know they're not going to. I'm going to preface this by being like, this is not what's going to happen. But if they went in like a comedy way where like the judges are like Orange Cassidy, Britt Baker, like, I can't even think of a good third one.
Then it kind of, you could make it like the real Olympics, you know, where like the French judge like gives the non-French people like small, like less points and stuff. So if you got like, you know, well, I don't know, like a Dark Order member out there, and then like, who's Bryan Danielson even allied with?
Nobody. He has no friends, yeah, as we've, I think we've discussed before. So, yeah,
so
I don't
really
know.
Propose judges in that case. I mean,
I don't know. Maybe he's gonna. Maybe this is how we learn that his wife is coming to AEW. And she's gonna be one of his judges.
I would.
Sometimes
love that.
We say things like we're like laughing to ourselves, and I'm like, I'm so worried that like this is gonna be true, and it'll be kind of be all our fault because we spoke it into the universe. Not that I know anything about his wife, but. Yeah, I don't really want to see it. And do you want to talk about your thing that you said?
Oh, I think just like as they were, so they were having this back and forth where like Bryan Danielson was like, or Hangman was saying like that he had never felt like less like a champion after the draw last week. And then Bryan Danielson came out and like called him like an entitled millennial and blah, 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 blah. And it was like, I'm not into this being a rematch, but I did kind of feel like, oh, they're setting this up where it's like, Hangman can still be like insecure, like that he didn't mm-hmm. beat Bryan Danielson. And also like, I think, you know, Bryan Danielson being like the best in the world or whatever, like just kind of like setting up a situation for Hangman to like overcome his insecurities again and hopefully beat Bryan Danielson. Cause if he doesn't beat Bryan Danielson, I'm going to be real annoyed.
I think it's, I think that's interesting. I think that's a good point. I think it's just not how I would do it, and I'm like vaguely imagining a version of that in my mind is better, where it's more that it's like it's more of it is coming from Hangman being like, well, we had a draw and let's just leave it there. And it's like if Bryan Danielson wasn't doing the character he was doing, where like he could be the one who's just like, you know, it's not about like beating you, like it's not like I want to beat you so bad or whatever, but like you should want to win against me. Like it shouldn't be enough for you to just be like, well, I made it like to a draw and that's good enough. Like you can prove that you can beat me. You know what I mean? I don't think I'm saying it very clearly, but like I'm just imagining a completely different storyline that I would like.
Yeah.
So
like, I wonder if it was Moxley, like if it would feel different, you know, like,
yeah,
I feel like it might just because Bryan Danielson being so mean to Hangman does still feel pretty artificial to me.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. It, and it's like gotten hammier. I mean,
yeah, it was like a lot hammier this week.
Yeah, he was really playing it up. So
yeah, he got possessed by the spirit of Dan Lambert for a while.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, and it's like Dan Lambert is still in the show, actually. So
I don't need two. I don't even need the one I've got.
Oh my god, this is actually an evil plot line where Dan Lambert is back there, like just turning people into his little Borg. He's Borging them.
Dan He's Lambert got his is own Borg. Version of the Mist.
My God, damn it! That's eventually Shaq is going to come out from the back of Daly's place, and he will have been Borged by Dan Lambert too. All the
Poor
pieces
Shaq.
Are going to come together.
It's been so long.
I know. Didn't we say, didn't someone else get lost back there that I can't remember?
I feel like they did. Who was it?
I have no idea. Well, it'll probably come to us.
Well, anyway, in this promo, I did like how Hangman ended it with like, and if the question is if I'm going to beat you, the answer is yes or whatever. And like co-opting the yes chant, like setting the audience
up smart.
For that. I was like, that was pretty clever. Like, good job, guys.
Yeah, that was smart. Especially since, I don't know, there just seems to be a lot of stuff about like whether or not Danielson likes the yes chant. Like some stuff where I was like, oh, this is really good like probably a nice way of trying to mitigate it a little bit in general when I think he doesn't necessarily want it to stick around because he wants I'm gonna beat their motherfucking heads in or whatever. That is not gonna catch on. He's not gonna get it.
It's too long.
I'm sorry to say, it's like, I know every time I've learned it and been like, yeah, it is, it's not like it's hard, of course you can do it, the next time someone says it I'm like, no, I of course I don't remember what rhythm he wants me to do that to. Da 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 da. Don't know. Darby Sting and CM Punk fought MJF and FTR on Dynamite this week, which ended with CM Punk pinning Dax Harwood because Dax Harwood threw himself at MJF to save him from getting put to sleep. Or I loved that after I was like, this move is called go to sleep, my brother just said, time for bed. Which I loved.
Yeah, I will be so calling you- them that from now on.
Time for bed.
So you watched with your brother this week. Did he have anything else interesting?
No, not really. I watched with my brother and his girlfriend. His girlfriend, she was much more into it than my brother, I think, or just generally more interested. I'm trying to think. I feel like maybe that's the only thing that I wrote in here. It really, at one point, someone said, like, my dad was coming through or something, and he was like, what do you think? And my brother just said, lots of shirtless men. He sounded so tired.
He's like, I know why Allie likes those, I guess.
Well, I'm out here. I'm like, actually, they've been displaying a lot of athletic prowess.
It's actually quite athletic.
Which I think is true. I feel like nobody in my family, I had to explain to my whole family my interest in wrestling. And I feel like nobody took me seriously when I was talking about my interest in the storylines. But actually, I do think I demonstrate every week that I am really interested in the storylines.
Deeper profound, Allie, yeah.
Do they know you have a podcast?
No. Well, maybe now they do. I mean,
why aren't you recording it in the work that we do together?
You know, I think what I will say is that I don't remember what we have said in the past, and I'm scared about what we'll say in the future. There's a lot of uncertainty. I just, if you know what I mean.
Anything could happen.
Anyway, let's definitely talk about this match. Let's get, just get into it. The face paint. Someone want to explain what happened?
Well, I was very proud of myself because with my tiny little brain, when CM Punk came out, I was like, I think that's Surfer Sting face paint, even though, as you know, I don't know anything about wrestling. And it was. He was face painted like Sting, and then Sting was wearing CM Punk face paint with his little logo thing. Mm-hmm. And then Darby was wearing like a pink face with a chin tree going down onto his chest.
Yeah.
I have to describe it.
I think the pink also was a reference to Sting. It was just like a circular little homage thing.
That was not.
These love each other.
I know. Yeah. Three generations of loners love each other. It was not, I will say, Darby's best face paint because it kind of like obscured his neck. So there's something about the way that it was cutting up on his chin. I was just like, this isn't, it's not the look for you. So I didn't love that. And when CM Punk came out with that face paint on, I did not recognize any Surfer Sting stuff. And I immediately thought, you know, that joke, the Pagliotti, the sad clown joke. That's, but I am Pagliotti. That's immediately what I thought. And I was like, what the hell is on that man's face? He just came out here to do clown crying. So I appreciate that they love each other, but I hated almost everything that I saw on their faces, actually.
It wasn't the most intimidating of face paint. No. It wasn't the coolest looking. No,
it's not like when they were doing Kim Kardashian skulls the other week.
No, that was a good week. But, you know, there's a lot. I was thinking as I was watching this, it was like, I wonder if they have face paint, if they do it themselves or if they have a face painter backstage, like at a children's carnival and they all just line up.
It has to be. There has to be.
Oh, I follow her. It's Dolled by Danny.
Ooh.
Dolled by Danny. Wow.
Yeah. I hope they wait in a little line and then they sit down and they say, I want to be a clown.
I want to be a clown this week.
I think it'd be really cool if.
Wow. And then someone makes them a little balloon animal, too, mm-hmm. while they're getting their face painted.
Just to get them hyped up. Yeah. I think it'd be nice.
Darby's hair was also pink, I think.
Yeah. But it kind of, because his hair is so short and it's so light, it kind of looked like when you cut a dog's fur too, like, too short and they have, like, a little pink belly.
It was, like, shorter than it usually is, right? Like,
yeah, it felt like it was.
It felt like it was to me, too. Although maybe it was just the pink making it feel that way. I don't know, but it looked shorter to me.
I think that's all the fashion from the map, from the match.
Yeah, other than I guess MJF and the Pinnacle were matching. Their friendship is still so perplexing. Like, the Pinnacle is always like, this man is family, and they're so intense and serious about it. And it's just like, what are you talking about? Like,
I know.
I was thinking about it and I was like, it would make so much more sense because I was like, what kind of a dynamic is this? Like, who do I have in my pop culture lexicon that I'm kind of thinking of? And I did think, I was like, okay, it's kind of like Draco Malfoy and Crabbe and Goyle. But then I was like, well, the whole reason that that seems like it makes sense is because Crabbe and Goyle are so stupid. Yeah. Like, that you're just like, oh, you just got tricked by a smarter boy at a young age. And then you're his, you know, servants for life or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the
like, kind of what happened to Brandon Cutler. Right?
Yeah, pretty like, much.
You were just young. So.
Sounds like we're his therapist. You were young, Brandon. You didn't know any better. You didn't know it would turn into your whole life. And Brandon just sadly goes, job for life. For all their faults, like, FTR don't, their character vibe is not like, we're dumb. Like,
yeah, no. I mean, that Crabbe and Goyle vibe is also a little bit, I mean, Wardlow's also not stupid, but it's a little bit of Wardlow and Sean Spears. Those two, like, seem like they're like much more willing to just follow along. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, FTR definitely seem a lot smarter. So then it's like, how much money is he paying?
Right. What are you getting out of this?
And the fact that they're older and more experienced too, is just like, why have you decided to, like, it's like Wardlow and Sean Spears do make sense to me in a toady way, but like FTR is just like, what is happening with you guys?
Yeah, because especially because it's like Wardlow is having a character arc about it, obviously, but has always had a little bit of a vibe of like, I kind of feel more comfortable when I am the bodyguard. Mm-hmm. That is kind of what feels better for me. And then Sean Spears is just insane. So it's like, yeah, those make total sense. But FTR is kind of like, you're adults, like, as your character is that, like, you are adults who are like good at your job, like. So why would you work for this man who is not a good boss?
Right. He's like, he's a child. He asks you to do stupid things. He's always running out of the ring and leaving you to do all the dirty work. Like, there's nothing in this for you, is there?
FTR, unionize.
Yeah.
Pinnacle, unionize. And I did think, I was like, if you replaced FTR with like Brian Cage or something, again, then I would just be like, yeah, makes total sense. Man's an idiot.
Right.
Of course, like, I mean, loving this situation.
Fine. But when you get a very large man in there, you do automatically think, well, this man doesn't have a lot going on upstairs, which is kind of bad stereotyping, probably. But, you know.
Muscle big, brain small. You heard it here first. I liked when MJF fled the ring at the end of this match and then was stealing a microphone from commentary just to, I don't even remember what he was saying.
Yeah, something about how unfair it was. Yeah,
just mad.
Yeah. And it was fun, cranky. Too, because like Taz was on commentary, so he was like talking about how great MJF was, which I always enjoy a little heel energy on commentary. So that's been fun.
Listen, I started watching with JR, so I'm like, of course JR needs to come back. He's He's part of my experience at this point.
Yes.
But I have fucking loved Taz on commentary.
Yeah.
So much.
Too.
I'm like, I wish that somehow I could have both because
I know
the whole match was so funny to just have Taz just constantly being like, I don't know. I think that MJF's a great guy.
He's a really nice young man. I don't know why you guys are being so mean about it.
It's a nice contrast too, because MJF is the wrestler that they're all meanest about, like most mean about at this point and don't give a shit. They're just like, MJF sucks.
Yeah, right. They're always coming up with some new way to say it. Yeah. Yeah. And it's fun to just have like a little bit of drama on commentary as well as in the ring.
Yeah. Malakai Black on Dynamite fought Griff Garrison. The question remains, why?
Commentary really had a lot of questions about this, honestly, which else in this episode, they kept saying things that is like, yeah, that is what we're all thinking. Like, they were like, Adam Cole, he needs to wash his hair. And then they were like, Malakai Black, why is he doing this? And you're like,
yeah. Let me read the quote that I have here. So Tony Schiavone said, again, you've got to wonder about the motives. Does he want to beat Griff Garrison to set an example? Does he want to hurt him? What about Julia Hart? How is she doing? Those are really good questions, Tony. Taz says, I think Malachi's motives are that he wants to be the alpha in the AEW locker room. When I heard that, my little eyeballs popped out of their heads. I'm just like, by beating Griff Garrison?
Griff Garrison. This will show
Orange,
everyone.
I got Griff.
Yeah. This will really show everyone that I'm the toughest, beating this golden retriever up.
Yeah.
Crazy. I feel like Malachi's entrance was like even more intense this week than a lot of weeks, which I loved. It was really great. When he walked out like all backlit and he had like his antlers and he just looked like, you know, some kind of pagan horde god, but then he like raised his arms up like a wrestling guy asking for cheers. It was like such an interesting little juxtaposition. I was like, I love wrestling. This is good.
This is perfect. He's such a freak.
Yeah.
They did say he's setting up the House of Black too, so I think that from his promo last week, like, he's going to bring in some friends at some point, whoever they may be.
Well, now I can't stop thinking about Darkheart, though, because the thing I was thinking about this week was, I was like, when, like, someone like Kenny is not going to be around for a couple months, mm-hmm. they have to do a little promo to set up, or don't have to, but a lot of times they will, to set up, like, this is why Kenny isn't around, because he's a big deal and people expect to see him. So the Julia getting the goo spat in her face and then being gone feels like that, except that no one's ever going to notice that Julia Hart's not around because, no offense, Julia, but you're not a big deal.
Right.
So I'm just confused where I'm like, okay, well, in that case, if she gets spat in the face and then isn't around at all, then I assume that something else weird is going on. Like,
right. Yeah.
So I think she may be in the House of Black.
It was interesting that commentary brought her up, you know, because I feel like they could easily just not really, because it's like, you know, Griff's, they're treating her like this little damsel in distress or whatever. So I do feel like I'm convincing myself that Darkheart is really going to happen.
I know. I'm going to be really disappointed when it's
so
just
so
Brosco
bad.
Rex or whatever man is is coming to join us.
Briscoe, yeah.
Well, I know it's the Briscoes, but this is my there's another man. I know that I keep saying it, and like, both of you have been like, you're talking about the Briscoes. No, I know about the Briscoes. There's another man who has a similar name. It just sounds like in that Brutus Andronicus. Blah, 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 blah. I've seen him mentioned, and that
Brody
is who I
King.
Keep thinking. Brody King, thank you. That is
perfect.
That
Briscoe
is what
name.
I mean.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Brosco
little,
Rex.
That is also a little freak.
Oh, does he look Google? Weird?
I'm just looking at a little picture. Oh, and he's a little freak.
I mean, is really, Malachi Black should get Kyle O'Reilly in there, because like, if he needs a little Frankenstein's monster to like send around, you know, like, a little familiar.
Oh my, an Igor.
Yeah, an Igor, exactly.
Oh my god.
I feel like
Igor.
That's Matt Jackson stomping around backstage. Malachi Black take him.
Oh my god, that's absolutely right. Is that he left and he's just making Nick listen to all of the different factions that he's like, they should go there, they could go there, they could hang out with them, they can't have Adam is ours.
It's crazy for Adam to come in and be so happy with his boyfriends and then immediately bring in his old stupid NXT faction.
It sickens me. And you know what? This is why men are so repugnant.
Yeah, it is. There's no loyalty. Men have no loyalty to one another.
No loyalty. They want to have it all. They want it all. What was I think I was going to say something else, but I have no idea what it was. Oh, it was that I did see a picture of the Briscoes. They're the Briscoes, right? And there is their gimmick, like, they're just in camo. I didn't like it.
Oh,
and I was
really?
Like, I don't think we need any soldiers coming into the wrestling ring.
Except Captain Sean Dean, who.
Yeah,
we
can come. We
obviously
love Captain
we love
Sean,
Sean
Dean. Oh, but oh,
oh
that's
God,
what
they
we're
are
talking
in camo.
About.
Oh,
this is like
I don't,
very.
Oh, no, thank you.
Good
this is
brothers.
Like, right?
E.
Yeah.
No, no, no. No teeth.
No, thank you.
No, no, no.
No teeth. No
teeth. Ooh. Ooh,
camo, no teeth.
No, 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 no. I don't
okay.
want this.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad that I'm glad you guys have been forced to see that too. Thank you.
I'm real upset
I'm
now.
Nervous about what? Oh my god, I hate that.
They're wearing the Confederate flag on the first page of Google Images.
Oh, they have dreads. Okay,
yeah,
they're white. they're white.
So there's a few red flags here.
All right. Yeah, a couple things going on. Oh my God. I don't want those men to come to my company.
Please. No.
No, thank you.
Nope.
No, thank you.
Nope. Hard pass.
Let's talk about men we do like. Eddie Santana, Ortiz, and the Lucha Bros fought 2.0 Daniel Garcia and the Acclaimed on Rampage last week. Mm-hmm. They did the customary pre-match interview with Mark Henry. It was perfect.
Yeah. I love how these Mark Henry interviews are just so like formulaic. It's like you're at Mass or something. It's like the responses are like set, you know? It's just reassuring.
He's formulaic, but I like that the different people bring a great little chaotic energy, but it's confined to their little box. Like when you get to see them
it's
in their
the different
boxes
scripture
next to
readings,
each other.
You know, they change every week.
Oh, you're right.
At the
yeah.
same point. Yeah.
You're like,
he's the absolute most perfect person to do this because every single time he's just like, I wasn't listening.
Yeah. Well, that's enough talking. Yeah.
I'm glad. I feel like when Mark Henry came, there was like a minute where I had seen some people be like, Mark Henry is just doing his stupid, like, it's time for the main event. Like, I don't like it. He's not adding anything. And I felt like a little weird about being like, I kind of think that it is great, actually. Like, I know it's not that, like, it's not special, but like, there's something about it. And now I feel glad that the crowd loves to shout, it's time for the main event.
He has such like a mild energy and they're all in there like yelling at each other and he's just like, okay, great guys.
Yeah. The more amped up whoever it is, the funnier Mark Henry's tone is.
Exactly. Like, you know? Yeah. This man's never been riled up in his whole life.
No, he doesn't. And when you're that big, you don't have to be.
No, exactly. Just everyone's shouting like 6 feet below you and you can barely hear it anyway.
You're just like, if you upset me, I'll squash you. But you won't. Yeah, I'm not worried.
Not listening.
During that pre-match interview, 2.0, I love their vibe of just like, Max, we can't hear that rap right now. We don't want to hear it at this time. And Eddie just wandered off screen like in disgust. He's like, I can't fucking listen to this anymore.
I really thought that Eddie was gonna wander off screen on his box and then like come on screen in their box and like beat them up. Like, and I think
me too.
Allie was at my place driving through, and we were both pretty convinced of that. So it was pretty disappointing when Eddie didn't show up in the other box.
I know. I was like, that's gonna be so funny, and it didn't happen. So, but that's a free idea from us to you,
it'd be great.
You guys. So bring that back. We never got to hear Max Caster's rap. We will never know
it's
what
so
he was going to say.
I live for his little raps. I always like put down whatever I'm doing and like sit up all animated.
I say, suddenly you have my attention.
I want to hear the rap.
It was because they got beaten up on their way down to the. Everyone was so. They're 10 whole men. So they were so ready to fight.
And
that
Max Caster, when he got interrupted and was just like, oh, Jesus.
I know. I hope that made him appreciate that actually most opponents are very respectful of his disgusting rap.
That's true. They really hear him out, you know? Sometimes they make upset faces, but they let him continue.
Yeah.
I think the only other person who didn't let him continue was Mox, but Mox just decked Anthony Bowens instead.
Yet again, the classic dynamic of Anthony Bowens suffering for Max's sins.
When's Mox coming back? I hope he does after Christmas.
I know, I didn't miss him. This was a good match. There was something I was going to say that I completely left my brain.
This was kind of funny because this episode had the 8-man tag and then it had this 10-man tag too. Yeah. And I was kind of prepped for like, oh my God, that's so many people. But both matches were delightful. Like, I will say this one was like slightly less delightful to me because like the other one was all faves and this one had a little bit of dead weight. Sorry, Santana and Ortiz. You're good wrestlers and I want to like you. But it was still a lot of fun, I thought.
Yeah. Were you saying that this was making you think about, like, I wish Santana and Ortiz would leave the Inner Circle? And,
yes. Yeah. Yes. I want Eddie to form a faction that's just him, the Lucha Brothers, and Proud and Powerful and get them away from Jericho. Because everything I've ever seen of Santana and Ortiz on their own, they're very, very funny.
I know. Yeah. And he keeps, like, talking about his best friend Monkey. And it's like, this is an organic little friendship experience. Right. You guys can, you know.
I want to see you and Monkey hanging out on screen.
Yeah, give me some of that action.
Right. Yeah. I like this match, too. And I also would tell you, in any other case, that a 10-man tag would just be too many, but I sort of unfocused my eyes and stopped trying to track exactly what was happening, and I really just like just let it
wash over you.
Yeah, I don't remember anything that happened really. It, like, just completely washed over me. But, you know, it was fun. There was lots of fun.
It had a really weird ending, actually, because it was like Daniel Garcia got the pin on Eddie, and it was like at the last second Eddie got out, but it wasn't, you know, like a beat too late instead of a beat before.
But it was like so close that I was like real confused about what had happened for a second.
And it wasn't really, it wasn't clear from the way they were acting for a minute that the match was over, and then the bell rang and I was confused. And
then I feel like someone on commentary was yelling about cheating, but I was like, I didn't really see cheat. I don't know. I wasn't following it.
I really don't know. But then they were beating Eddie up some more, and then Jungle Express came out to save him / all of them, I guess, but it's like actually was just kind of like the other guys on Eddie's team just seemed to be like not around or not doing anything. Like I just lost track of them and was like, maybe your teammates could come help. Like, what is their damage?
Funny, not to interrupt you, in this match, like I feel like in the six man tag with Best Friends and the Young Bucks, like there wasn't a lot of like a group like loitering in the corner, but in this one for like a good chunk of the beginning there'd just be like four guys like all in the corner just looking like they're outside a convenience store like leaning against the wall like bored. It's just like, this is a weird energy, you guys. Anyway, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's dangerous with those big groups. Like, you do kind of have to keep them busy and not to, you know, it's like, pay us, Young Bucks. But I do think that when the Young Bucks, like, choreograph their little matches, they really make people be, like, keeping busy and
like
moving around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we're all, not just,
you know, when you're
hanging out.
That's life when you're the goats. Am I
right? Teacher's pet of the week.
Yeah. And little Jurassic Express, there's a moment where it's like JB picked up the tag team belts and then was like respectfully man to man, like holding them for a second. I love this beat in wrestling when it's like they're looking at the belt like, whoa, I want the belt, but I'm a good guy. So then they give the belts back to the Lucha Brothers. And then they had a moment of being like, are they going to shake our hands in friendship? Yes, they did. A little uneasy like alliance of like, we're good. Let's talk about the promos that we saw on. Well, so we have a special segment in 1 second. So don't give away what's in the special segment. But we'll just say that JB, Luchasaurus, and Christian Cage cut a promo against Private Party, who they are going to fight on the 29th. On Sunday? On Christmas?
Jungle Boy. Yeah, Jungle Boy versus Isaiah Cassidy is Christmas. And then. Yeah.
Great.
I was I know you were asking me, and I was like, oh, yeah, I wish I could have that information. And I was like, it's definitely at the end of the schedule.
Yeah, thank you to whoever put that on the schedule. Was that you, Leah?
Yeah, it was me.
Thank you. You're a champ. And thank you for consulting it just now for me. which the other, so that we'll talk about what they said in a minute. But the other thing happening in this promo was that they made a little like Jurassic Express holiday shirt that has Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, and Christian Cage on it as like the elderly grandpa like sitting there. And I hate it. I hate that Margo Stunt has been like jossed.
We just pretending he never
retconned.
Existed. Like, what the hell? I know. It's like a t-shirt within a t-shirt, so it's kind of ripping off Orange Cassidy too, which is like, guys, come on.
It's also, like, it's so deranged. It's called the Three Wise Men. And so I was like, is this a reference to, like, a famous painting I've never seen? And so then I was, like, Googling, like, wise men painting. And, like, I can't find anything.
These men have never seen a painting.
It's a crazy, like, the way, it's like Christian Cage is sitting on a chair. And then, like, Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy each have a hand on his shoulder and are, like, so beaming, weird. Like, proudly. And it's insane. Like, the whole thing is insane. It's like, Marco could have been in that. There's no reason Marco couldn't have been, like, in there somewhere.
Right. Like, Marco, do you not want to be here? It's okay, Marco, if you, like, just want to do your singing and you're like, I don't want to be a wrestler anymore or whatever.
I feel like Marco Stunt has just gotten unsummarily, like, pushed out, like, fired. He's just not booked anymore, and it makes me really upset because I love that there is this tiny little guy.
And he was so good in that.
So
like,
fun.
It's like, yeah. I don't know. I felt mad. I was glad that, like, the responses to it on Twitter, at least a bunch of them, were like, where is Marco? Yeah. I think the thing I also just don't really like is the feeling that like they think that I might just forget right. that it used to be Marco, and I'd be like, it's always been Christian Cage.
We're dumb, but we're not that dumb, okay?
To draw the line somewhere. We do have 2 brain cells approximately each, so really
and
annoying.
We've really imprinted on our little weirdos, and I want AEW to stay a little weirdo company.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to read you guys a couple quotes. This is a little multiple choice, so you have to choose which of these was the most unacceptable thing that was said on TNT this week. Orange Cassidy got absolutely drilled by that Panama Sunrise. This was after MJF had gotten the ropes thwacked into his nuts. MJF's trunks just got a little more yellow.
Thank you. And then I will say after that one, also, there was like a little pause and then Taz was like, oh, I just got that. And then Shivani said, I was going to say the back of his trunks just got a little more brown. Oh, what the hell, guys? What the hell?
Okay. This one is from Isaiah Cassidy in the promo that that Private Party and Matt Hardy cut against Jungle Express. He said, for Christmas, Jungle Boy, this Saturday on Rampage, Isaiah Cassidy is going to pound that ass and injure you. To which Jungle Boy responded, Isaiah Cassidy, you think you're going to pound my ass on Christmas night? I'm going to bring a big old lump of coal and shove it up your ass. And it will become a diamond.
Also,
I want to know what happened on this episode of Dynamite that everyone thought they could just say whatever they wanted.
They lost their fucking mind. They heard the words holiday bash and thought, I know how we customarily celebrate the holidays. Then also, Taz continued to freely use the term yambag so when talking times. About Sting's head hitting Dax Harwood's crotch, I want to say. Maybe Cash Wheeler's.
I don't remember, but I do remember. Either, yeah, repeated yambag. And then for some reason, the one that got me was he said, it's in the yambag region.
Yeah, the yambag region. It's not champagne unless it comes from the yambag region.
I would have to say that I'm voting for MJF's trunks just got a little bit more yellow.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The worst thing.
Yeah, I am too. That was the one where it was just like, we're always on the edge of commentating like we're in a porno, but that one was just like a little too far. I'm not prepared for that.
Oh, that's interesting. I was going to say that for me, it's most unacceptable because it takes us out of any territory that I feel comfortable with and into a territory of juvenile scatological NP humor. And I think it's like, you know what? It's okay if you want to say things that are double entendres, but not if they are bodily function related.
We're adults. We're not fourth graders. Come on.
Exactly. Yes. I think I agree, but some of these other ones
the
too,
coal
though.
Up your I'm gonna shove a big old lump of coal up your asses like that was a
well,
real close
that
second.
Was when he just said you're gonna pound my ass
from Little Jungle Boy too that was very like
I know it's like who told him what that meant
I know
he shouldn't know. Wardlow fought Sean Dean this week and it was like the squashiest squash I've ever seen in my life.
He like put
poor
his
Sean Dean.
Foot on his chest at the end too. It was just like
he powerbombed him 4 times. I thought this is not you wanted to like go in there and be like Sean, this isn't about you. He's working through some other stuff and I'm so sorry that you have to be on the receiving end of it. That's also great. Interesting that Sean Dean and Sean Spears both spell their name like that. Do you think that this is the most normal spelling of Sean? Because I don't
know. I think the S-E-A-N is more normal, but but I don't know. But I had a friend named Shauna who spelled it S-E-A-N-A, and she said people like could not deal with it, and they all thought that S-H was more normal.
Well, Shauna, I would say S-H-A-U-N-A, I'd probably guess. I don't know why.
I definitely think I know more W-N's.
Interesting. I wonder if it's regional.
It could be regional, for sure.
Well, Oh, and anyway, Sean Spears was dancing around looking nervous, like he shouldn't have let Wardlow do all the power bombs. But then he came in and he got to do his chair stuff. And he got to make his faces. And he's completely clean shaven, which is somehow just more repulsive almost than the hair that he had there before.
I can't even remember what his facial hair was before. Did he have a full beard?
I don't know. Why is he always doing something so weird? He had like a... I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like I liked whatever was there before, and I don't like the clean shaven. He looked a little bit like Hugh Laurie to me at some moments, which is distressing.
Okay, well, I like Hugh Laurie.
Well, yeah, sure, but...
Actually. But...
That's but Hugh Laurie clean shaven also has like a little bit of a weird face.
It's true. That I don't feel comfortable comparing him to Hugh Laurie.
Sean Spears is 40. Did you guys know that?
No. He's kind of a baby face, actually.
Yeah, he looks young. Good for him.
Well, we also got a promo about this on Dynamite where MJF was like, "Don't I pay you good?" And Wardlow was sitting there just like looking like that man's about to pop his tits off. He's so mad. So I think the end is nigh. I mean, the turn has to be approaching. Like, but it's actually, I think it's really nice that they've been doing such a slow burn on this.
I feel like it's been a slow burn.
Yeah, and it's been like a really good pacing of it because it hasn't been like crazy slow. It's just been like a nice gradual. Like it's amping up every week. I feel like.
Yeah, but that's what feels so good is that it's like it's a genuine. Every week I'm like, oh, he's a little madder than last week, but it still makes sense that he's not quite mad enough to punch MJF's lights out, so it just feels like it's working really well. And
Wardlow's
everyone, you know what,
some good face acting actually. Yeah, like as you're saying that, I'm like, yeah, that's right.
Wardlow and MJF together, you actually can have a teacher's pet of the week award from me because I think that this is so fun. Dan Lambert is back. I don't know, who cares, we don't have to talk about it.
I totally zoned out all the Cody stuff too.
Is Cody gonna fight Dan Lambert?
He's fighting Sammy. I didn't know that, but I don't know. I mean,
because Christmas is a pretty big deal for Cody and his whole wrestling family.
Is it?
That's what the commentary was saying. I don't know.
Damn it! I didn't listen to that.
Well, can I tell you guys? I'm weirdly rooting for Cody to win and Sammy because I just think it would be like a really fun amount of drama for him to become the third time TNT champion while he's hated by literally everybody.
Leah, you really trying to kick poor Sammy while he's down?
It would be funny to like lose the mid-card belt and then come back and win the mid-card belt again as Cody. Like it is a little bit humiliating. So I like
For the third time.
Yeah, it would be the third time he did it. Good for him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I think I would want that to be accompanied by the full heel turn, which I know, you know, it's being teased, but I'd want him to go all the way there. I don't know. I think that's all we really got for the week. Anything I missed, guys?
I don't think so.
That's good stuff.
Okay.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Happy
holidays
year,
to those who celebrate. And to those who don't, happy just getting out of this year.
Yeah. And it's going to be 2022, which surely will be better.
Yeah, I think it's going to be absolutely great. An optimist.
We will be back again. They'll be hearing us on the 16th, I believe. So we will.
And we'll have much to talk about.
We'll have a lot.
Energized.
Well, listen, we're going to need like 25 minutes for that Young Bucks segment.
It might be the whole show. We might not get to anything but the Young Bucks. But that's cool. I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod and via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And come back next week.
2 weeks.
Oh, no, 3 weeks from now.
Come back someday.
That, you guys know that TikTok that's just like, when will I see you again? Oh, never. Never. Well, maybe sometime. That's us this week. Okay, guys. Happy holidays.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.